Hello, it's John, and I'm talking this morning to Ian Alderson, and he's got quite a tale to tell. He's been doing interviews similar to what I'm doing, but on a much grander scale, and he's actually put his findings and he's transcribed them into a book. Now, recently there was a book signing and a launch of this book at the Town Hall in Todmorden, and I went along to this. I was very, very impressed. There were about 100 people there, some of the interviewees and lots of other people, because the interviews are all about how Todmorden used to be back in the dark old ages of 1930s, 40s, whatever. And if people aren't interviewed about this, that way of life has gone now, and it's very interesting for people my age to have it all brought back. So could you tell us, Ian, how you felt it went on Saturday?
Thanks, John. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I think it went really well. The attendance was really good. I think over 100 people went there, something like that. And, for me personally, I enjoyed the fact that quite a lot of the interviewees were there. So we interviewed we interviewed exactly 15 people, and I think something like maybe 11 were there, something like that. So it was great. And it was just great. We had a couple of actors from the Todmorden Hippodrome who read out some of the extracts from the book, and there was a translation because we interviewed three people who was heritage from Pakistan, and so we translated their bits into Urdu, and that was supposed to be a translator for that. And then we had Theresa Nixon from the West Yorkshire Joint Services Heritage Manager, and she was very complimentary about the project and said kind words about it and said it was groundbreaking, and the fact we had quite a wide range of people. So we had these people from Pakistani heritage, we had a guy whose mother was Ukrainian, his father was Polish, and then we had a mixture of other people, men and women. The main criteria for interviewing them was that they had to spend most of their early life in Todmorden, really. I mean, some of them came, when one person came, I think from Durham, maybe when she was six or something like that, or sometimes a bit later. But generally, they had, as you said, they had some interesting stories to tell about Todmorden in the sort of 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah, I was 70s. Very impressed that you did have these different cultures, particularly the ladies from Pakistan, because I think, well, there are so many different ethnic groups in the town that people perhaps don't realise that there are these people, and it's nice to know how they think of Todmorden, because we don't often forget to talk to them. So that I enjoyed that part. Right, yeah. So when you were talking and other people were talking about how he came to be involved and so on, so can we just talk about that for a little while? It was quite a project. You say you interviewed, 15 people? How did you come to choose these people?
I was asked just to go right back to the beginning of last year, which went in. It was in the middle. We were just kind of coming out of COVID, but it was still sort of in COVID. So there were, when I interviewed people, I did have to take precautions in terms of distancing and make sure that I had a test and so on.
Right.
But in terms of choosing, I was asked by the Todmorden Book Festival to do the project. And then I set about finding people to interview. I went to various organisations really to find people. So in the Methodist Hall on a Wednesday morning, Age Concern have a coffee morning there.
Yes, right.
And somebody from the committee suggested that I go there. So I went there, and a woman called Alex from Age Concern was running it, and she was quite helpful in introducing me to one or two people. And I just went around talking to people, and because part of it, when you're choosing these people, you have to, it's not really a case of just meeting them and say, right, okay, we're doing the interview now. You sort of have to build a bit of a rapport with them and explain about the project and just see whether they would like to do it, because everybody doesn't necessarily want to talk about their past. So it's a case of going around and having a coffee and chatting to people, and then if they were interested, I would then ring them up a couple of times, explain a bit more. And then most of the interviews were done in Todmorden College.
Were they? I wondered where you'd done that.
I hired a room in Todmorden College and did them there. I also went on social media in terms of Facebook There's a Facebook group called Tobberden Past and Present where a lot of people post old photos of Tobberden and memories and so on. And so I found a couple of people through there. I found a lady who's actually living in Switzerland now, Jackie Spender, whose extracts are in the book. And she spent her early life in Tobberden. She actually talks about how she was really interested in playing women's football. But women's football was banned until 1971, and so she had real trouble. And then I think she tells a story in the book where she actually got invited to a tournament in, she'd play in South America, but her mother said, no, you don't go to that. I think the story is, she said to her, when will you grow up? You're not going to South America to play women's football. Obviously, I talked to her now, and women's football has, undergone a renaissance with the Lionesses and so on. So it's changed. So it's interesting how things change. So that was one person. One person said, "Oh, my neighbour on the top of Past and Present said, oh, my neighbour might be interested." And that was Debbie Whitehead, and so I interviewed him. There was also there's a group called the Tobberden Family History Group, which meets in the library, So I went to a meeting of theirs and I got introduced to various people. I met the Eddie Antomese, whose father was Polish and mother was Ukrainian.
Yes.
I got connected with him there. And sometimes one person led to another. They might say, why don't you speak to my friend, whatever? And then you got given the phone number. So the problem is it can't be a scientific thing. It can't be, you decide, spend years deciding, and you decide on 15 people. It has to be, they just had that as a criteria of wanting to do it and having an interest in doing it and spending most of their early life in Tobberden, but I could have, what was the other organisation? I suppose the Talking Newspaper, Paul Suthers, the chair of Yorkies, but I interviewed him.
Yes.
I actually met him at the Age Concern mentioned it.
Yeah.
So, it was a mixture of things, really. And I suppose there's lots of other people who could have stories, obviously. But we had to have a kind of manageable group, really, 15.
Yeah.
Because each interview was about 40-odd minutes, and then you've got to transcribe it. It probably takes about 6, 7, 8 hours to transcribe it.
So presumably you would only do like one interview at a time. You couldn't have them all there together, could you?
No, I mean, you're obviously in the business of doing interviews here. So it's in the past, when I've done projects and somebody said, oh, can we be interviewed together? Whenever, and occasionally I have done them together. It's preferable to do it they don't mind people being in the room, but it's preferable to do it with the person, one person. Mm. It's difficult to actually work out who's speaking sometimes.
Yes.
It becomes confusing and people get interjecting. So, it was on their own in a room in Todd College. But I tended to book in about three interviews over a space of 3 hours. So I allowed an hour for every interview, although sometimes I didn't use the whole hour.
So this has taken up quite a bit of your life, hasn't it?
I suppose it has in the past year or so. And as I was saying earlier, it was slightly worrying in terms of COVID because some of these people were quite elderly.
Mm.
So I had to, make sure it was a lot easier when there became many vaccinations, and then I had a test before the interview, and it was a big room, so it was social distancing, etc. Anyway, as far as I know, everybody's survived
the experience.
And then what I did then was transcribe them all. We employed a lady from Bradford University, Mehrish Kadam, who could speak Punjabi, and she interviewed the three women from a Pakistani heritage. She did that in a house in Tobberden, and then she transcribed those and then gave the transcriptions to me. And then I set about picking sort of bits of all these different interviews. And as you know from Saturday, I can arrange them in the book.
Mm.
I arrange them in themes, really.
Yeah,
so birth, family, home, primary school days, playing out, food and drink, shops, holidays, from Pakistan and Ukraine to Tobberden, going out, first jobs, love and marriage, War. We've even got an extra about war. Jack Jarman, who was a prisoner of war in the Korean War. Mm. And then he talked about that and coming back to Tobbledon and having a mayoral reception and so on.
Mm.
So so they're grouped under these different themes. So it's not the whole interview, but everybody who was interviewed has got several extracts in the book. And everybody's had at least one extract on Saturday in terms of being read out.
You know. Right. And I understand that you've done some of these recordings, and we might even hear some of them on the Talking newspaper eventually.
Depending when this goes out, yes, that's an exclusive for the Talking newspaper in that apart from me, nobody's heard the original audio of these interviews because they were just... transcribed and I send that to the book festival committee.
Yeah.
I've sort of picked out a few clips which can be added to this interview, so you could hear a little bit of what people's memories were.
Yeah. Right. So over the course of time, dear readers, you'll be hearing some of these interviews, and it will be a first, groundbreaking things.
Well, hopefully you'll hear the one that I used, but the one that I mentioned quite a bit on Saturday. Was the great Castle Hill Primary School parsnip swindle. So I did a little speech on Saturday. I said, 1968, this happened in 1968. Yeah. 1968 was a very historic year. All these things happened, you know, the Apollo space mission. In fact, you know, there's a couple of assassinations. Martin Luther King got assassinated.
Oh.
Robert Kennedy got assassinated. But there was also the great Castle Hill Primary School parsnip swindle. So hopefully... the full story will be attached to this interview.
It's lucky that the chef wasn't assassinated as well. So anyway, I've got a copy of this book, and I have to say it's fascinating, and I like the way that you've transcribed them, and you can actually imagine the people talking the way that you've done it. You've really brought it to life. So if people want a copy of this book, and I highly recommend it to anybody, how can they get hold of a copy?
We are putting copies in. Well, there's some copies in Tobbledon Library.
Oh yeah.
So I'm not sure for sale. I think maybe people can just read them in Tobbledon Library. They might be for sale. I'm not sure about that.
But there will be
for sale in the Tobbledon Information Centre, and also in the bookcase in Hebden Bridge.
Well, all I can say, Ian, is that I do hope that people will take up this chance to buy a copy of this book and have a read, because it is highly entertaining and it does bring back some wonderful memories of times past. So thanks for that. I've been fascinated to hear what you say, and I really did enjoy the launch on Saturday, and I hope that the book takes off and you feel that all the work you've put in has been worthwhile.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed speaking to you. And I hope some people listening to this will be able to sort of get a copy and get access to it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks very much, Ian. Thank you.